All right, testing, testing. I'm coming through. All right, Chris, can I get a bit of a test from you, sir?
What's going on, man?
It's going good. It's going good. A little bit more?
Yep. Here's a little bit more.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
I don't never know what to say.
Yeah, Craig's the same, man. Chris, like, it's like the hate the warm-up thing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Gift of Gaming podcast, and this week we have no idea what it is we're talking about. So if you like mysteries, you're in for a good show.
It's the Gift of Gaming podcast.
All right, it's me, your host, Darren Wade, and today I'm joined by the console-hating, PC-playing, lore-seeking, full-time Canadian himself, Chris Robbins. Chris.
Hey, folks, how's it going?
It's just you and me. It's a duo this week.
Yep.
It's a duo with no plan.
We've been here before.
Yes, we have. Yeah. And I don't know if we had a planned episode that time, but yeah, you and me have had
Oh, no, we talked about... Because I look back on it, because it was our conversation about you hating us hating on... turn-based strategy games.
Ah, was that one? How long ago?
Yeah, and I think it was, we were talking about our favorite, like just, it wasn't a genre corner, I think it was before then, but it was, we were talking about our favorite genres of all time and stuff.
Okay.
And then we finished off on one, the one that we kind of fell out of love with, which
it was
we both
turn-based.
Agreed on turn-based RPGs.
Well, I can tell you, Chris, I have fallen right back in love with a turn-based RPG. I'm playing Clair Obscur's Expedition 33. I'm about 5 hours in, and it is all worth the hype. Everybody's singing the praises.
It looks fantastic, and it kind of reminds me, because when I think about like what I don't care for JRPGs, there's some that stick out. Like, oh, they did things a bit different, and it's usually like the Paper Mario's or the Super Mario RPG, where it's a bit more interactive. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the combat in this is super interactive, right?
Oh, yeah. So like you can't... That's the thing that I like about it. You're not kind of sitting on your laurels at all during a fight in terms of, like, oh, I'll just attack, 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 The game's incredibly difficult. At least
wonderful.
I've found. Like, I've died 20-odd times. I'm 5 hours in, and I've died loads. But in terms of the battle system, it's turn-based, but it's... When you attack, when you use your skills, there's you got to press the button at a certain timing to get the most out of it. So it's constantly involving you in that regards. And when the enemy is attacking you, you can choose to either dodge or parry.
Yeah,
parry. If you get a perfect parry, you get a combo or a counterattack. And if you get a perfect dodge, you just don't get hurt. But each character, each enemy that you fight, the timings are, and they're purposely done. You know, they'll come up to you and it looks like they're just about to swing, but they'll hold off for that second longer. And
Dark
then
Souls.
For you. Yeah. That whole thing where, like, I've done my dodge. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm going to get creamed here. And it's not, like, I've died so many times, but it's never a case of, like, I'm putting the controller down and being like, fuck this. I'm like, cool, all right, I'm going to learn that. And you go right back in. But... Chris, I was Luke and Kev were up at in mine last night. We were watching the end of Severance, and they were asking about it. And I said the same thing to them that I say to you. The opening for that game has such like Final Fantasy X vibes in the sense of everything is quite intense, but you have no idea what's going on. Like, you know, the whole Sin swallowing Xanarkind, what the fuck's going on at the start of that game. This one, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody because I think even the opening is worth.
Kind of said it in the trailer where it's. Expedition, like, 33 is an age where just, like, those people have been chosen to just disappear or something?
So every year there's a thing called, and spoilers, so if you don't want anything to know about Expedition 33, I'd advise just stop listening to the podcast for the next 10 minutes or so. But basically, there's a thing called the Gommage, which is every year a clock ticks down, and if you are turning that age within the coming year, you are Gommaged, which means you just... disappear.
Yeah, Thanos.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think like the only reason I know that is I think they said that in the trailer. Oh, it's they, like now it's our turn.
Exactly. Yeah. So they don't. So like they don't go into it in the full detail in terms of I did the whole startup and I wasn't expecting kind of like the emotional tie I'd immediately have to some of these characters straight off the bat. Like I don't know anything about them, but the way the story is told at the beginning, I'm like, oh fuck yeah, this is good. So basically, you know, it's the next age is 33. So everyone who turned 33 that year gets gommaged, and you're part of Expedition 33. Who are it doesn't matter what age you are, you can be called up for an expedition, or you can apply for an expedition at any age, and you go over with a group to find and destroy the Paintress, who's the one who's kind of painting these ages in and causing the gommage and stuff like that. But yeah, it's cool. Like every expedition before you is like essentially failed. And when you're going over, you're learning about how far the other expeditions got and what they learned, and it's all teaching you how to navigate this world.
Sounds so good.
It's man, and like I'm hooked, and I'm hooked on all the characters. Like there's just they talk.
The
to
characters
each other.
Look very, very good.
Yeah, I've only come across three so far. I think your party is four. I don't know if you get more than that. It looks
I think
like you could.
I think it's only three. Like I mean, it fits in with three. 33. I think there's only three.
I think on the box I've seen, or not the box, but the cover art I've seen that there's four people. So I don't know if that's kind of a ruse. But I have three people on my team at the minute. I love them all equally. Like, everybody's quite interesting. But each person has their own fighting style as well. Like, there's one of the girls on the team is just kind of pure sword play. So every one of her moves drops her into a different kind of stance.
The other girl's magic and the other guy's guns.
He's got guns. Yeah, everyone can use a gun, but his gun is kind of the most powerful. But it's got, like, even the menu has such Persona 5 vibes. Like, everything is really, not overly flashy in the sense that Persona 5 was a real... you know, not that Persona 5 was an assault on your senses, but there was a lot going on the screen anytime you played Persona 5. But this one has a similar type thing. It's very, like, art, the art direction, visually very appealing for, like, your menus and things like that. And the fights are really intense, especially when you get to a boss fight. Like, when you're fighting, and it doesn't matter because you drop right in and you just run back to the boss. It's no biggie if you get a game over, which is very, you know, possible based on how hard the game is. But when you go in and he's getting ready to attack you, you are like, I need this parry so bad. Like, I need to get this counter and I need to get one more turn so I can heal whoever else. It's really intense. But the world map, I've only been to two dungeons. Both have looked exceptional. And the world map is quite cool as well. It's kind of an old school RPG game where you do get almost, not exactly a top down, but you get a world map and the characters all run around it, and it's a much bigger zoom out, and the sizes are all different in a kind of in a wacky way, but that really fits the aesthetic of the world. And I just can't get enough of it. I was, like I said, I'm only 5 hours in, but I just want to play so much more of it. And it's a game where I've come across bosses that are very much evident that they're way too hard for you at this part in the game. So I guess you're returning back to certain places to try and defeat
also
these bosses.
Dark Souls.
Yeah. I came across one. That's when I was like, fuck, am I just really bad at this game? Because I came across the first kind of tough bosses. They're mimes. I guess they exist in every dungeon as far as I can tell. And by beating them, you get like cool new outfits or hairstyles for your characters. I've only managed to beat one, but the one I came across in the first dungeon, I went in for a fight with my like two characters, level two, whatever it was, and got absolutely wailed on. And I was kind of sitting there being like, shit, this is dungeon one. Have I not done this correctly? But no, Chris, I'd recommend it. And I know everyone's out there is recommending it, but I can't recommend it enough. The music is incredible, characters incredible, art style is unbelievably cool, just really, really different, and just a very different storyline that has me like had me hooked right from the first cutscene. So highly recommend.
It's being hailed as a potential game of the year already, so that's interesting.
I mean, I'm trying to think what else I've played in terms of new release this year off the top of my head, but for me right now, I'm only 5 hours in, and I'm like, yeah, I'd put this as game of the year for me in terms of, and like, this is visually, graphically, the game is insanely good. Like, the fact that this is the studio's first game and it looks and plays as good as it does. French president Macron came out and congratulated them recently for
really?
Success. Yeah. It's cool, man. It's just really cool to see a story like that. And it's cool for the game to come out and release at, I bought it for 45 because it was on a quick sale, fiver off from PlayStation Plus when it first came out. So I paid 45 quid for this game and I'm playing it and been like, fuck it. Like, this is a game I'd pay 70 or 80 quid for, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the fact that it's 50 is just icing on the cake for me. Well worth it.
I told you, man. AAA is just, it's kind of dying. It's the AAA we know is dying.
Yeah. Yeah, and I suppose if people aren't going to put in the effort to make them as good as they should be or are meant to be with the resources they have, then I'd say farewell to EA and let's play these kind of fucking games that are amazing.
Absolutely.
You had it on your FOMO list the last time we spoke on the podcast. You reckon it's something that you'll pick up?
I ended up getting Fatal Fury instead, though, which I am enjoying. I haven't really took it online or anything because I'm... going through this new like exercise kick. I have like a cycling machine at home.
Nice.
So I just throw on like the story mode of Fatal Fury while I'm like biking. And it,
nice. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it makes things pretty fucking difficult. But yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. It feels very, very much just like Street Fighter.
Yeah. Are you gonna become a Ronaldo master? Is that your plan?
I haven't got to try him yet because I'm just going in order and playing through. I want to figure out like who I want my main to be. So far, it's probably going to be Terry, but I haven't tried Ronaldo or the other guy, Salvatore Ganacci. He's meant to be really fucking good too.
So. And it's funny that because I think what you mentioned in the last episode where I watched the odd Maximilian Dude episode here and there, and I saw him playing as this character who looks so much like Maximilian Dude.
Yeah, the apparent. Rumor is that DJ Salvatore Ganacci, like the real guy, is kind of went on like his YouTube and it was the top comment. And he's like, "What size tracksuit do you wear?" So he might be sending Maximilian a tracksuit.
Oh, so good! Yeah, for him to dress up like that because I thought it was a character customization thing that it must have had or something. But yeah, that was pretty funny to watch. I don't know about that, man. The art style of that game is what would take me out of it a little
bit. I love it, man. Yeah? The Dark Shadow, it's very, very reminiscent of like, I want to say like Beautiful Joe, like the comic book style.
Like so, what would you say? It's not exactly cel-shaded, but it kind of has a, almost that vibe.
Yeah, cel-shaded isn't a bad, yeah. Could be a variation of cel-shading. I'm not really sure when it comes to like the art and animation, but I would just describe it. It looks like a comic.
Yeah.
I think it looks great. So,
and I'm glad that they're back because my only experience of Fatal Fury was...
First game in 23 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And my only experience was that Terry was brought into Smash Brothers, which is where I actually paid attention to... Because, you know, you and me would play a lot of fighting games. I would be a Tekken kind of would be where I'm at. But watching Terry arrive into Smash Brothers, I was like, what is this? So I watched like all the old Fatal Fury games. I was like, oh, this looks like, you know, good fun. And then they announced that new one. I was like, fuck, that's... And it's, I don't know if I'd get it because I haven't even played Tekken 8 as much as I think I maybe should have at this stage, in that kind of way.
Ah, it's a tough one to get into right now. It's
The fact that they updated it and kind of fucked it. I went back on to play online after. I was interested to see how bad this system had gotten with their update because it's all about the... I mean, Tekken was always about the juggling, but it seems to have gone to a whole new... Like, whereas I think that was kind of a coincidence that you could juggle characters based on the combos, the developers seem to have leaned into making it that the better you are at juggling, the more success you have in the game. And I went on to play a few matches, and I had, up to this point, like a 90% win rate when I played as Law. I lost like 4 or 5 in a row because some characters' moves have changed. How long your airtime when you get hit has changed a little bit as well. So I was just getting absolutely...
Yeah,
I don't, like steamed off this. Off
that, that's like why thing. I like the Street Fighters and the Fatal Furies now is like there are some times you can juggle, but it has to be like a defined true combo, and it's usually like pretty quick, like an uppercut into like a Dragon Punch or something like that.
Yeah.
Whereas like if they're falling and you have ample time and you try to attack them, there's like just no hitbox there.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it has to be like an actual move that is meant to.
There's more honor I find, and this is the thing that me and my brothers used to always do when it came to Tekken, and not that I expect people online to do the same, but when we were growing up, we played Tekken all the time. Me and my brother Graham would always have this thing where if we were fighting and, you know, let's say I was about to lose and a tiny bit of health and knocked me to the ground, he'd let me get back up as opposed to going in for the final kill.
Yeah, house rules
so
always
was,
make the game.
Yeah, right. So it was that this honor system that we had, but like that is, it does not exist in any way, shape or form in Tekken 8 now based off how the gameplay loop almost goes for online battles, where it's like I'd get in and if you can't figure out, like I played against, I can't remember the guy's name, is it Vincent maybe or something, one of the new characters, and I was playing against him and the guy just kept using the same combo against me and over again. And
jeez,
it was this thing.
Jeez.
Yeah, and I was annoyed at myself because I was like, well, I should be able to, this is the only thing he's going to do, this combo over and over again, but you're almost not given enough time. Okay, I can stop the first two moves, but can I stop the rest of them coming in? So by the time I figured it out, he'd already beaten me twice and I couldn't get through a match him a third time, and I was just like, you know what, fuck, I'm out, just turn the game
so
off.
Annoying.
I was like, no, not for me, which is sad because, you know, Tekken is my favorite game, but they definitely need to fix that system a little bit.
Yeah, it's crazy because it came out with like, it was doing so well, and then overnight it seemed it was just like overwhelmingly negative on Steam, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, because that's people updating their reviews and like putting in new reviews. And
And like that Maximilian dude who we'd watch would be a big fighting game person. I think he went on to be like, it's messy.
Ain't it? Yeah.
It's messy. I'm going to leave it for a while.
The other Mortal Kombat kind of fucked up too, I think. It wasn't really well received in the beginning, but something to do with just like the content wasn't there, and it feels clunky.
But I would have always put
Mortal Kombat, I think, I can't remember which one. It was the game that introduced the kids, because my main was Cassie Cage. That was the only Mortal Kombat I've played that felt fluid and not like, it's a hard way to describe it, like rigid almost.
It's so, it feels like it's really on rails in a way.
Yeah.
Which, don't get me wrong, I've played a lot of Mortal Kombat in my time and I've enjoyed it, but I'd never choose that over the more kind of free-flowing the likes of Tekken or Street Fighter would have felt.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a pity because Mortal Kombat's got some great characters in it. Like they've got Omni-Man and Homelander and stuff like that, the weird characters. But it's just too rigid for me to want to have any desire to play it. And it's weird as well. It's like they're bringing in these other characters, like DLC characters to fight in games. I think sometimes they're making those guys suit Mortal Kombat. Don't get me wrong. Like Homelander in Mortal Kombat, Omni-Man. I mean, they're essentially the same character almost, but they suit Mortal Kombat. Tekken, and I loved Final Fantasy 16. Was a big, big fan of it. Yeah, like Clive. Yeah. Clive was a weird and bad choice because the idea of like weapons in Tekken 8 was, or Tekken in general, was just not a thing. You could like, it began with customizing your characters. You could customize nunchucks or a sword onto their back, but they could never
use them.
But then they developed this thing where if you had that item equipped, you could use a special move that they'd take it out and do a quick combo, and any character could use that. To now, some of Law's combos involve him using nunchucks, and now we've got Clive coming in who just uses swords, or Vincent who's got like a blade and that kind of stuff. And I'm like, it's drifting from what I loved about it so much. And
So
Fatal Fury was on your list. I know Expedition 33 was on your list. There was a third game on your FOMO.
Oblivion
Remastered.
Oblivion. Now that the novelty's worn off, like, part of me kind of wanted to just like, throwback. But then I started thinking, I was like, well, what if I just go back to the original. It's like $2.
yeah, so cheap. And it's because I think a lot of people are saying that the jank is still there, the classic Bethesda.
Yeah, but that's what we want. There's a lot of like videos of people doing. You remember Oblivion NPC dialogue?
Yes,
it's just like a meme.
Yeah,
they're remaking those in the remaster, the and they're putting them side by side, and they're almost identical. It's just better graphics.
Yeah,
in fact, they are identical.
Which is, I suppose, I'm glad it's one of the things Bethesda tried maybe not to fix, because if we hated the jank, go fix it. But I don't think anybody really ever hated that Bethesda jank.
It's funny because, like, in the original, there was there's some like really bad dialogue where there's a instance where a girl's reading and she's like, "Oh, you gotta go find this dungeon." She's like, "Oh shit, fuck!" And you hear pages turning. She's like, "Let me read that again," because that was part of the like recording. She just messed up during the recording, and it's in the game, and it's still in the remaster, which is hilarious.
And it's good, like, good for them in terms of like owning what the game was or felt like. I love that. The fact that the game's so big that you can afford to put little gems like that in it. And I don't want them to take away from that too much. But it's weird. When the remaster trailer came out, I was like, is this when I finally... Because Andrew would have played tons of Skyrim. Tons and tons of Skyrim and Oblivion.
I think we all played tons of Skyrim.
I never. So Skyrim, Oblivion...
Really?
The games I've never played. And I think I started...
That seems crazy to me.
I started a game... Well, it was just one of those things where I started a game in Skyrim and played it a little bit. But I don't know if it was... Did it come out? Or when I decided to start playing it when Andrew wasn't, was there something else that had come out that I was more interested in? But I've never played, I think, from start to finish a Skyrim game. I mean, I never touched Oblivion.
Oh, okay, hold on, sorry. I feel like I'm talking a big game here. I've played tons of Skyrim. I've made tons of characters. I've never finished the fucking game.
Yeah, okay.
We've talked about this before. I get serious open world fatigue, and that is probably the worst game for... Well, no... Breath of the Wild was probably the worst open world fatigue I've ever had, but Skyrim is definitely there.
And Skyrim and the likes of Oblivion don't have, correct me if I'm wrong, but from my memory, they don't have the kind of it doesn't have the same side quest vibe as the likes of, you know, I would say Ghost of Tsushima or Horizon, where it's like...
I don't know, man. Assassin's Brother, like the Brotherhood of Darkness or whatever, and then the Thieves Guild, you got the Mage's College.
But that's what... They kind of feel like a little bit more fleshed out than some of the other Kill this Dragon or whatever else, or Fetch Quests. I think they've seemed to be...
Oh, I thought you were about to like dig on the side quests.
No. And that it felt like there was, when you're doing the side quests, it's almost like that kind of takes over the main story.
Yeah, they feel like it is part of the main story.
It's all organic, whereas in other open world games like Horizon, I definitely felt like I was doing... I definitely felt like I was doing fetch quests and side quests for people that weren't important.
Yeah, I had a bit of a problem with Witcher 3 for that. Like, a lot of the side quests, I was just like, okay, so I'm just going to kill another monster. I mean, like...
Sure thing.
Some of them were bangers, but I was just like, open world fatigue in that game too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I shouldn't really continue to go on about it, but I can't think of any other kind of new game I've purchased this year. I'm trying to think in terms of Civ 7 would be the other one that I purchased this year. I don't know if I'll be able to go back to Civ 7 for ages now with Expedition 33. I'm like, everything else is probably going to go on the back.
I'm never going to go into Civ 7 until like massive more content. Like,
it's such a pity because there's been loads of complaints about Civ 7, the UIs and stuff like that, and I have about maybe 20 hours, 25 hours in the game, probably a bit more actually. But I have completed, and like, I've won a round and played like in the classic Civ way, and I've played about maybe 7 or 8 others without finishing them. Yeah. Not that I was in a sense of losing them, but I really wanted to go back to that original age thing. But I feel like people are missing out in terms of, I actually think it's a genuinely great game from where it's at the minute.
Every way I've heard the ages system described just it ruins it for me. It sounds like it's generally like just 3 different games. It's like Fall Guys, where you're just like different maps.
I would have said that would probably be a very harsh criticism of it. And maybe it's something that just suited me or something that I really liked. But you've got your first 100 turns of Civ were always probably the most, I always found the most enjoyable. You'd go around, explore the content and whatever else. But this game kind of limits you to what you can do in a positive way. So the Age of Exploration starts and I would go around, discover who's on my continent, do the best to make for my relationships with them, but I couldn't actually explore outside of, I couldn't go into deep ocean until I hit the next age, because the technologies for like deep sea exploration or crossing the ocean would be locked until I got into the next age. So it was cool. I had the first age, it was just me and this continent, and religion had just first come about, and it feels like it fits historically a little bit more accurately that I would do this, and then all of a sudden the next age starts, and I'm like, cool, and I have ships ready to go and explore. And that becomes then the age of the age of trade and passing on the religions and discovering all the other people. So each turn, and I get what you mean, because the one thing I don't like about it is that they take your units and kind of randomly decide which units they'll let you keep and which units just get kind of trashed.
Well,
yeah, a really weird thing. But they put like a unit, like a military unit in each of your capitals, I guess to make sure that you're protected for the start of the game, that it's an even thing across the board. But aside from that, like going into the next one, it felt like I was getting the next 100 turns again, in a way, and like the first 100 turns all over again to go and explore. And
I
think the second or third game that I played was one that I went through completely and finished. Whereas I think when I played Civ, because I got Civ 6 when all the DLC and everything was there, I was a real late adapter for that one.
Yeah, but, same.
It took me tens of games before I ever settled into one to finish it, because I loved that feeling of the first, like when you're just discovering the maps and trying to find wonders and everything like that. Whereas you get that twice or 3 times in the new one. I think it's harsh, man, the criticism. But again, it's like Civ 6 was so good that people were like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But I like what they tried.
I've beat Civ 6 on Deity with every single leader, eh?
Fuck off, are you serious?
Yeah.
So you're serious right there.
Don't praise me. It was mad cheese. All I would do is like a massive map, and it would be a 1v1 against the what was the track? Koopa?
Yeah.
Koopa, yeah. Like he starts in the water, and I would only make it a 1-turn game, so I'd settle immediately, and he's still in the water trying to find where to settle, and I would just win because I have a bigger civilization.
Oh my God, Chris. That is such cheese. I can't believe the game actually lets you do that.
Yeah,
was there like a achievements or whatever?
Yeah, okay, you're selling achievements.
Fuck, yeah. I was sitting here being like, wow, what great understandings you must have of all the mechanics and the deep dives and everything. You're like, nah, just cheese every fucking
just cheese.
Only the other day, Chris, we saw that GTA 6 has been delayed until May 2026. Are you surprised that Grand Theft Auto has been delayed? One thing I will say is I'm delighted for everybody who was hoping to release a game this year. They'll probably just announce those release dates now.
It would have been nice to see Clair Obscur go up against GTA, you know.
No.
Bring down a big dog. Like,
they never... So this is the thing. I love Clair Obscur's.
I don't know. I have a feeling like GTA 6, especially given that they're going to come out at a crazy high price, they're probably going to like monetize the shit out of the game. The servers might just be a fucking train wreck. Like if they released this year, it might have been a disaster. And we could have seen something like Clair Obscur, like, win Game of the Year.
Against the GTA 6, yeah. Which would have been a really cool thing. But I'm kind of glad for the likes of Expedition 33 that it's got a chance. Because I think no matter what year, and I get what you're saying in terms of, yeah, there could be massive server problems for the online game. I still think GTA 6 are going to come out with a banger of a one-player storyline mode, like GTA 5. Because I never really got into the online thing, but I quite liked the online mode, their main game for GTA 5. I can't imagine a world in which GTA 6 comes out and doesn't win Game of the Year. Be it 2026 or whenever it is. But, I mean, I'm delighted it hasn't come out this year because I think Expedition 33 has got a good chance of actually, winning Game of the Year, which had GTA 6 come
still
out.
Still has some tough competition. I mean, Doom is right around the corner.
Yeah.
And so is Night Rain.
Do you think Night Rain's got a...
It's FromSoft.
That's always...
They don't miss. It'll at least be a nominee for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And are you... are you considering Switch 2 for Duskbloods?
I was when I saw it. I don't... That's not coming out this year, though, right? That's 2026.
I think Dusk... Oh, maybe late this year. Maybe you're right, 2026.
I think it's 2026. Yeah, I don't know, man. The Switch is just, like, aggressively expensive. And, like, even, to replace a controller, like, all the accessories have gone up.
Yeah.
I don't know. It would be nice to play GameCube, but yeah.
Do I want to pay $500 to €500 to play?
I sent you the Canadian prices.
$109 before tax for Mario Kart.
Yeah, man.
Man, that is so sad. It's because up until this point, like when people were talking about, I was paying £70 or £80 for a game, it's monstrous. And I was like, in this day and age, it kind of makes, like, inflation wise, I was like, it kind of makes sense in terms of the value of a game and what goes, depending on the game. Don't get me wrong.
No, it doesn't. Some games. Inflation and like price of things go up, but the average salary doesn't. Not much.
No, in terms of, I agree with that. Like, and that's different. That's a different kettle of fish. But
Does inflation come from then? If it's not us making the money, why are they fucking putting more money out there?
Games, like, it's just getting more expensive to make them, to throw them about the place. But I mean, I don't mind the 70s or 80s that we've been paying so far. But yeah, I think Nintendo opened such a kettle of fish. That's not the right phrase, but putting a physical copy of Mario Kart on for €90 is insane when I think that I paid £45 for Expedition 33.
Yep.
It's outrageous.
Yep.
And that'll be the case for all of their games going forward. And actually, you put up something that's quite funny. Xbox, you put in a thing in the chat there the other day that Xbox...
Yeah, I was about to bring that up too in comparison. I didn't know if we wanted to save that for news episode, but yeah, we can touch into that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, floodgates are open. The Xbox is increasing its price. In fairness, though, because they're increasing their hardware and their accessories. They're increasing their games, too, but I don't think that fucking matters, because why have an Xbox and not have Games Pass?
Yeah, you'd be... If you owned an Xbox and didn't have a subscription to Games Pass...
Is a miss. Yeah. Big miss, but... Yeah. Here we are. I don't know.
And do you... So this is where I kind of... And I've always been skeptical of their purchase of Activision. Do you think Xbox are currently being like, we're kind of a bit fucked right now? We paid billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars for this Activision thing. And I don't know how that is ever going to make the money back for them. Ever. I don't understand why they ever went in to buy Activision. Call of Duty, yeah, great. But you can't go exclusive on it for 10 years based on whatever legal agreements that were made in order for you to make the purchase. Like, they must be a little bit fucked on the gaming side. Like, you take Microsoft, tons of money worth, you know, billions or trillions of dollars, euros, whatever. But on the gaming side of things, what was the 60 something billion? Was that what they paid for Activision? Was it the 60s?
I couldn't remember.
Lots of like crazy money that they paid for Activision. How do they ever make that back through just from the gaming division? How do you ever make tens of billions of dollars back? What a wild and crazy move for Xbox. And I know everyone's kind of going for the exclusivity hunt.
But like, they don't even want it. They're trying to give their games to PlayStation now, which is...
But they're trying to give their games to PlayStation to try and make, I would assume, make money from them. Because, you know, to me, the idea of console game exclusivity doesn't make sense to me anymore. I love that the games I've got on PlayStation, I've been very lucky that I was in the PlayStation ecosystem for all the exclusives that came out for that. But I'm also like, I just want everybody to have a chance to play fucking Horizon or Astrobot or whatever, because they're great games. So I can see why Xbox are doing it, to be like, well, we need these studios to make more money, otherwise we have to close them. So let's sell the games everywhere. But 60-odd billion. Do you know, because I didn't go into the actual the details of it, do you know how much they're increasing the hardware and stuff by?
I think it's about like, I don't know the consoles, but I think like the controllers and stuff is like just a flat like 10. Like the
on top?
Accessories of what, yeah.
Because like, controllers and stuff, at least from the PlayStation side of things, are 60. The cost of a game, essentially, by like a
pro controller. Bet your PlayStation goes up next. Well, let's hold on. The DualSense is pretty expensive. It's more expensive than the Xbox controller.
Yeah.
And then you get into stuff like the DualSense Edge. Well, Xbox has the Elite, which is about 200. I think the DualSense Edge
260.
Yeah.
Right, so they were in around, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, PlayStation were always already charging a premium. So I think maybe Xbox is just trying to catch up. Maybe it's tariff related. I don't know. I have no idea. It just seems like a wild move. We still haven't heard much about the next gen console either, which is...
And I always do this, and I think this is just a COVID thing that always makes time seem strange to me, but I still feel like the PlayStation 5, Xbox X and S just hasn't been on the market that long, but they have been. They've been out for 5 years, 6 years
almost.
They've been
out longer than PS5, haven't they?
Series X and S? They were all... I think they were announced the same year.
PS5 hasn't been out for 6 years, has it?
2020. Yeah, so approaching 6 years, 2020 it came out.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Because I remember getting my PS5, because PS5 was impossible to get here because...
I was living in Luke and Niall's old apartment when Craig got his, so that sounds about right.
2020. Yeah. I drove, because we only had a 2 kilometer radius that you could go to, but Daniel told me that they were selling it up in the... Was it Carrick Mines, Curry's Branch? Had PS5s behind the counter when he went there. Like that night, he called me and straight away, he was like, if you go there first thing tomorrow morning, you might get a chance. So I drove 18 kilometers out to this fucking place, which is away. And I was like, the whole time I was driving, I was like, I hope no one fucking catches me on the road. Like, I shouldn't be out here this far.
And I'm sure they take one look at you and you're just like, I just want a PS5. The cop would be like, let the nerd go.
He's causing no one no harm. Yeah. But that was so good, because I remember actually getting one, going into the shop and seeing that they did have them still in stock, getting one. And I'd been, I wanted to be a first day adopter, but I couldn't get it for like 3-4 weeks. I was like constantly checking all the sites and everything. And then, you know, put it in the passenger seat, put a seatbelt on it, strapped it in to drive home.
Yeah.
To me, and again, maybe because I just bought the PS5 Pro, I'm in no rush to see anything about the new console. Because I'm like, I don't really... Because PS5, to me, I don't think anything was ever really sold properly on PS5. Like, Horizon's DLC was a PS5 exclusive that looked like a PS5 exclusive. I don't think I've played anything else on the PS5 that has made me say, I needed a PS5 to play this. I mean, don't get me wrong, loading times are great. The thing is smooth as fuck. But in terms of, for me, aside from that Burning Shores DLC, I pretty much would have been able to, I think, well, maybe Clair Obscur is on your PS5, but there's so many games that I was like, I probably just could have kept my PS4 and played them. It would have been slower, would have looked a bit crapper, but at the same time, it's like, I still haven't played the amazing PlayStation 5 shit.
Something that was built and... For PS5?
Yeah. For the post show, Chris, I'm going to put this on you now so you can have a bit of thoughts. Seeing as we're talking about consoles and things now, my idea for the post show today was for you to just tell me why I should have a PC and not a console. Seeing as we're on the console now, so
I got arguments.
Your thought process together for the post show.
But, I'll be realistic. I'll give you the reasons why I don't think you should either. I don't know. So it's a good time, man. It's a good time.
And you just have PC and Switch, right? You've never had PlayStation or Xbox, have you? Through your years of gaming?
No. Are you kidding me? This is the only generation I haven't had both.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. I've always, ever since SNES, I've had both SNES and Sega, and then I had PlayStation, N64, I had Xbox, PlayStation 2, GameCube. Like, didn't have the Wii or the Wii U. And sorry, I didn't have the Xbox One. My last Xbox was the 360. My last PlayStation was the PS4, and I had all of them up until then.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Never mind.
So I've always been console gamer.
Yeah. Might have to change your tag.
PC's better. I got rid of my consoles when I moved to Ireland, just because I couldn't travel with them. Right.
Yeah.
Like I packed everything down to a suitcase and a laptop, and I've always liked PC gaming, but it was kind of unaffordable to me up until, got my big boy career and I could afford to buy my own PC. Like, I had to buy a decent rig for school because I was doing graphic design, animation, coding, and all that stuff. So that's when I bought my good PC and I made sure I could run the games. And then that's when I kind of was just like, well, PlayStation is just for Netflix now, really.
Wow. Wow, yeah, okay, that's an interesting step down. Is there one that you can say you would have wanted based on like the story so far with PlayStation 5 or Xbox?
Yeah, I got kind of pissed off with remaking Demon's Souls and still keeping it exclusive to PlayStation. I really wanted a PlayStation for that.
And has that not come to PC yet at all?
No.
And it's only because I know PlayStation tends to, like the Horizons, the Final Fantasy remakes, they always...
With Final Fantasy remakes, that's Squaresoft. So that's Square arguing that we want...
More places to have it.
Yeah, like at least let PC have it after a year or something. So
who's Demon's Souls then?
Demon's Souls is strictly, like that IP is owned by Sony. From Software made it, but the IP is owned by Sony. Same with Bloodborne. That's why they have to make Dust Bloods now, because Sony just doesn't give a fuck about these games. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. We live and we learn. But yeah, I don't...
And other than that, like, current gen, like, just given I wouldn't really be playing the console too much, I would probably prefer an Xbox just for the media center it provides. Like, you can install Kodi on it, which is pretty fucking big. You could just... I'd never have to pay for Netflix or Disney Plus or anything like that again. Just, you know.
And what is Kodi?
Kodi is just like kind of like a scraper for you. It is a program where you can install these add-ons that will give you like, you know, this is the anime add-on. You can stream any anime ever created right to this. It'll scrape all the sites for you and just, you know, give you a list to choose from. Have you ever heard of Plex?
Yes.
Just essentially like Plex.
And it's mad because Plex seems completely legit, right? Yes.
Yeah, no? But it's what you do with it might not be legit because you can use it for pirating and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you can't even install these kind of programs on, well, maybe it's changed, but you couldn't install it on PlayStation before. No. They were pretty limited with their apps. And stuff.
In terms of, I think even on the PlayStation Store now, it is just based on what they have in the store because you can download those apps. I don't think you can go outside of the ecosystem at all.
The other thing I like about Xbox is right in the store, like there's user reviews. You can see the ratings right there in front of you. So.
Yeah, PlayStation, I mean, you can go onto things and it'll have like a star rating, but you do have to click a few buttons to actually get into...
Oh, it does have a star rating.
Yeah, okay. I think so, but you kind of have to click... It wouldn't, like, if you're on the PlayStation Store and you're scrolling down through all those thumbnails of games, you have to click into it before you see the user rating and then click onto that before you can actually...
Okay.
But I don't even think it has actually... It's not like Steam. I don't think you can actually go on to that and read people's individual reviews. I think people... Like, I mean, for me, I can go on to the game, let's say a game that I've bought, and I can give it like 4 stars, 4.5 stars, 5 stars. But I can't go in and type in a review on this.
Oh, really?
Well. Yeah, I don't think so. Which I think Steam obviously does, but I think Steam Xbox... is
fucking amazing for that.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think... can you do that on Xbox? Can people actually write reviews on other games on
Xbox? Yeah, I believe... I remember the star system. I don't know... Maybe you can or can't. The only experience I had with like those is at my buddies, but I remember seeing reviews and I was like, oh, this would be wonderful. And maybe I was only comparing it to Switch because Switch has nothing of the sort.
God, no. They're
brutal.
No.
And the other thing that got me, like, now I'm just going to rag on Switch because the online, like the store just doesn't work.
No, it's so slow as well.
Yeah, but there's no wish listing, which is crazy to me.
Is there not on the Nintendo store? Fuck.
I don't even think there's a cart. I think you can only buy like individual items, like one at a time.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, maybe that is the case. It's funny because I've only really in this year, because I mean, with the podcast, I was kind of taking more of an interest in games that were up and coming that I wanted to kind of play, you know, be a first day adapter to look at them and review them and give an opinion, like with Expedition 33. But the PlayStation 5 is the first era where I've actually gone on and wish listed loads of items. And it is actually quite interesting where... I've never done that before, but I get notifications email-wise and stuff like that to say, hey, this game is coming. Like, you've gotten a date for this game, or this game's actually now on sale. And I picked up stuff on such bargains, so I'm like, fuck, why did
Steam
I never do this before? Like,
amazing for that. Like, because my wish list is fucking jam-packed. But, like, every time a game goes on sale or is now actually full released or released, get notifications for it so I don't really miss out. And then... the other cool thing is Steam also has like a lot of bundles. Let's just say like these like Balatro, Slay the Spire, and what was that other card game? Like that could be a bundle, right?
Right, okay.
And then if
and
one
all
of them...
they're all different developers, right?
Yeah, yeah, still bundle the yeah, games. Yeah. But it's cool. The developers that probably agree to like, let's bundle these games together. Yeah. But if you go to the store page and you're just like, oh, I want to buy this, and like you add it to your cart, What was the other game? Anyways, you say you don't have Slay the Spire yet. So, whoa, it's on sale. So you add it to your cart, and then you go into your cart. Suddenly, that item is actually the bundle.
It's the best value?
Because it's the best value. Even though you own the other two games, they subtract what you've already paid for those games from it.
Oh, fuck me. That's great. Yeah.
So they're just like, you're not missing out because the bundle didn't exist when you bought it. So here's what you would have saved anyways.
Yeah. It's so funny.
Actually, that is a push for why you should be on PC. It's a pro Steam.
Put on your list. Because the funny thing about... I paid a bit more attention to the Steam guy. What's the guy in charge of Valve for Steam?
Oh, Gaben.
Gaben. There was the hilarious thing that happened there recently where Trump was interviewed and he said, who do you think should be the next Pope? And obviously he has no idea who any of the fucking cardinals are because he hasn't got a clue about religion. God doesn't give two fucks. But he was like, well, I'll answer this and I say, I think it should be me. And then a couple of days later, he released an AI image of himself as the Pope. And then the gaming community put in like, well, let's put in our, you know, if anybody can be the Pope, let's put in our vote. And it was... someone AI, you mind gaming in the full Pope?
Thing, the funny so thing much is that that picture's already existed. Like every Steam sale, you just see the picture of him as the Pope and like
put a halo on the back
just
of his
like
head.
The negative price markers everywhere. Yeah,
The stores, and it'll probably be a good argument that you have, but I'm glad that PlayStation recently, and I don't know if they've fully done it, but in the PlayStation store, there was so much, I can't remember the exact terminology for it, but AI-ware, essentially. Like, these shitty, really quick.
Steam is having a huge issue with that, and they're just because it's all new. They're starting to put their foot down. Like you have to disclose if your game uses AI and what the AI is for. And there's also a few other things that are popping up that Steam is putting their foot down. Like EA has announced they want to. You know how you only watch a YouTube video partway through, boom, you get an ad.
Yeah.
EA has announced that they want to start doing that
in the middle of their games.
Yeah, and Steam is just like. They immediately put out a rule. It was like, you're not allowed to advertise in our games.
Right.
Immediately, which is...
Imagine paying... Although I suppose like you still get it. Like, I mean, I pay a subscription to Now TV so I can watch Sky Sports because I love the Formula One. But given that, I pay that monthly fee. But yet, when I'm watching Formula One, I still have to put up with advertisements in the middle of the show because it's still like, what would you say, network TV or whatever.
Yeah.
So I understand why people think maybe they should be allowed to put it into games, but fuck that. I'm paying 70, 80 quid for this game. It's leave the rest of it alone. I just want the content that's in it.
Not talking about like in the game, there's a can of Coke on a table.
They're talking stop about like mid-play for a fucking ad.
I don't know what the plan was, but they want like ad reels. So maybe it's after like a multiplayer match.
You have
like,
to fucking do it.
Like mobile gaming.
Yeah. No, thanks. No,
yeah, Steam
way.
Immediately put their foot down. It's like, absolutely not. Yeah. Like, this is not allowed.
And I'm glad kind of the store fronts at least are doing that because the PlayStation store for a long time, I'd go on to their spring sale or even just to go through like what's new. And the amount of absolute fucking junk I'd have to scroll through to find any of the games that would mean anything to me, like that I know are from like decent developers or that I was anticipating this game to come out, I'd have to scroll so far to find them because there'd be so much. And I don't know if AI wear is the correct terminology, but with all these like
shovelware. Or asset flips is the other term.
Oh, fucking.
People just buy free assets from like the Unreal Engine store and just
like the guys that did what was that zombie game?
Day Zero or something.
DayZ
is a pretty big success. The Day After?
Yeah, whatever that company was, they scrapped that game immediately because like loads of their assets were pulled from either other games or from the free asset market. Yeah, so I'm glad that they're doing that. But yeah, I'm interested in. I wouldn't mind delving more into the idea that you could actually read reviews, people's reviews on games in the PlayStation Store, like you do on.
Don't get me wrong, like Steam isn't perfect. There's some bot activity there, and there's a lot of shovelware, and there's a lot of like. God, gooner's not the right word. It goes further than adult games.
Like adult chat games with like waifus and all that kind of.
Yeah.
Do you know that there was actually a period? There was actually years ago. A period of time when I was on the Switch, like the Nintendo Switch store, where I came across. I don't know if it was a thing that maybe they got rid of, but it was like almost this wave of like waifu, borderline. Hentai games that came onto the Nintendo Switch store.
No, the ones on Steam are straight up like hentai. Like it's
But I was like, because the Switch always strikes me as I know you can buy 18 plus games on the Switch store, like if they have the third party ones or whatever. But I remember scrolling through this and I was like, this is the Mario, Donkey Kong, whatever store up front, and I was like, how the fuck is this shit in here? Like, you know? No, I don't know. But I'm glad that they've at least, I think that was a thing that PlayStation took on recently to clean up the store a little bit, because I was like, there's so much. But with Steam, you guys got a good amount of, like,
Steam is meant filtering. To be a bit of, yeah, but the problem is, like, I played a lot of Cyberpunk. A lot of Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
And now, like, that game is tagged with, like, mature content and, like, nudity and stuff. So now I have that tag. Like, oh, I like to play those games. Like, I don't like to play the games we were talking about, but I like to play Cyberpunk or, like, The Witcher, which also has, like, nudity sexual and, sexual scenes and nudity. But, like, so the tags don't really discriminate between what's nudity and what is fucking porn. Pornography.
Yeah. Yeah. So your Steam for now is nothing but, like, you know, hard mustache porn, thumbnails
you
for
you
games.
Get a lot of weird suggestions.
It's a thing I've never, because I think that the Steam library has got so much more than the likes of PlayStation or Nintendo. I've no idea what the Xbox.
Well, anyone, like any kid that's ever made a game in a game jam, like as uncompleted as it is, you can upload it in Steam. You can charge $4,000 for it.
And it might get picked up. Who knows?
Yeah.
Damn. Well, Chris, it's been our mystery episode where we didn't really know what we're going to talk.
You get some bangers, though. Like, I've been playing Phasmophobia.
I thought you were going to go into the porno games.
No.
Porno games out there, bro.
It's just called bangers. But, I've been playing this game called... Oh, you might have heard of it. It's been out for a while now. I think it's still early access, though. It's Phasmophobia.
Yes, I have heard of it, too.
Yeah, I've been playing that all weekend, man. And it is, like, it's fucking scary, but it's so much fun. And this is the kind of game you wouldn't really know about necessarily if it wasn't for, like, an open market like Steam.
Yeah. Because there is, I think that's just what I was about to say, the filtering. You can find the more mysterious stuff on Steam with because there's so much more options in filtering. Like for the PlayStation stores, when you go on to like whatever when their menus are, it's filtered like by new, by A to Z, and maybe you can pick the genre for it as well. But I never feel like it's really.
It doesn't make suggestions based on like, oh, you really like Final Fantasy. So
that's only a new thing, I think, from, let's say, the store since the PlayStation 5, because the store has had an upgrade since the PS5 came out. But that being said, it's like, here's 10 games you'd like based on whatever that you've played. But it's only the 10 games, and they tend to always be like the high-end AAA games. Like, they're not recommending for me a £6 game that might be real similar to...
That's a problem. I would say maybe it's just the nature of the games I play, but like that's most of the suggestions. It's just like, oh, you play a lot of like Doom, so here's a bunch of boomer shooters that you might like, and like
they're genuinely fucking great. Yeah, and I think that's the thing that I'm missing out on, whereas I'm getting recommended the big developer, big AAA versions of whatever it was that I just played. I've never looked at, and again, it's not a really comprehensive list. You might get 10 games or 8 games in that list, but they all tend to be the fucking ones that are like 50, 60 quid. I'm not getting recommended, you know, a 10-year-old game.
Yeah, I buy like 4 games for that price.
Yeah, exactly. Which is
4 games that I'll never play, mind you, but like,
yeah.
They're there if I ever decide to.
But Chris, we're going to hop on to a post show now shortly where you are going to maybe convince me why I shouldn't get a PC. But to our listeners, if you've enjoyed whatever the hell this episode was,
I like these episodes. I always like the beginning of our episodes where we're just like talking.
What are you playing? Like, yeah, and you just go into it. Yeah. No, I'm a big fan. And in fairness, to me, it's like from a prep perspective, when we talk about like, hey, will we do a Shite Talk episode this week? I'm always like, oh yeah, great. I have nothing to prepare for this episode. Just sit down and chat like. So I do like them. But yeah, if you want to check out more of our episodes, check out patreon.com/thegiftofgaming, where we've got a buttload more content from gaming news to kind of random stuff like this to our Battle Royale series. And if you're interested today in terms of whether or not Chris can convince me that I should be a PC gamer, you need to check out patreon.com/thegiftofgaming for the price of a coffee a month. Chris, thank you so much for hopping on.
No problem.
It's been a pleasure. And to our listeners, as always and forever, keep enjoying the gift that is gaming. Peace out.